Welcome to the Advanced Relationship Podcast. My name is Jenny Morrow, and after 14 years as a marriage and family therapist and relationship coach, and after developing the Advanced Relationship Development Model, I am here to teach you the difference between a traditional relationship and an advanced relationship, and how you can go from relationships of shame, demands, overfunctioning, unresolved conflict, and obligations to relationships of passion, compassion, collaboration, balance, partnership, and authentic win-wins. This podcast is a compilation of teachings, interviews, live coaching, and Facebook Lives. If you're interested in learning more about how you can get training and coaching in the Advanced Relationship Development Model, go to www.advancedrelationshipacademy.com/mastery course info. The link is in the show notes below. Enjoy today's episode. Okay, welcome to the Advanced Relationship Podcast. This is your host, Jenny Morrow. And today I am really excited to be interviewing someone that I've known for a long time, though I don't know if we've ever had like a one-on-one conversation like this. So I feel excited to connect and have Leisha Nelson here with us. So welcome, Leisha.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about how I got connected with you and why I decided to invite you onto this podcast. But just to let all of you listening know a little bit about Leisha. Leisha is a trauma-informed embodiment practitioner and womb spiral practitioner located in Utah. And she spent over a decade studying trauma, meditation, stress responses in the body, embodiment, psychosomatics, the womb, and birth work. Leisha has established herself as a specialist in facilitating the release of trauma and conditioning in the mind and body, allowing the body to its natural state of thriving and pure potentiality. She has numerous certifications and licensures for modalities including occupational therapy, psychosomatics, yoga, craniosacral therapy, integral facilitation, spiral clearing process, womb spiral, and family constellations. Leisha has built two businesses from the ground up, a busy craniosacral therapy practice addressing care of both moms and newborns, as well as an online coaching business where she focuses on trauma, womb embodiment, and conscious conception of a baby, business, and or soul. Her work guides women to release trauma and patterning so that they can become more embodied, connected to their inner wisdom, and capable of their own potentiality for creation. So welcome, Leisha.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. That's a mouthful.
I know, it was interesting. I thought, I actually did want to read it all because there is a lot there, but I think it really kind of shows all the angles of practice and learning and skills that you have. And so I think it's, kind of very helpful. And I will help let people know where they can find you in the show notes, but you can find Leisha at Leisha Nelson, Leisha Nelson, Nelson.com. And I'll put that again in the show notes. I'll also mention it again at the end. And it sounds like you're going to be offering free meditation through your website soon, as well as some online self-guided courses. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, and you've got an email address here. So I'm going to add all of that in the show notes. And again, I'll touch on it at the end as well.
Thanks, Jenny.
Yeah. So thanks for being here. And thanks for all the work you've done to become who you are, to help women with this stuff. Because I find that, women and their relationships to their bodies can be such a struggle. And obviously around birthing and pregnancy, but probably it can just show up in a lot of areas.
Just women in general, and how we're conditioned and what society places upon us for how we should look and how we should feel.
Yeah. So I'm really curious to learn, how did you get into this work?
Yeah. So I am a licensed occupational therapist, and I was working in the hospital, and I had a craniosacral therapy session, from an osteopath, and it really changed my life. I had a really big emotional release, not on his table during the session, but a couple days later. And when I say emotional release, I should clarify, I just had a lot of tears. I was crying a lot and I couldn't really say why. I just knew I was moving a lot of emotion. And so that's what first opened the door for me to realize that the mind-body connection and what can happen when we start to open up and release our body in different ways. So that sent me on a whole new healing path where I started sitting cranial sacral itself and started doing that work, started getting really into meditation practices, yoga. And then it was about 2 years ago, I started diving more into the womb itself and more womb work. And when I did that with a mentor out of Australia, that's when I started to have even more shifts in relationship to me as a woman and my body, really. Like, it just really opened this whole new level of communication with my body.
Wow. Wow, that sounds really intense. Yeah.
Lots of hard work the last 10 years.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it gives me goosebumps as you say that. Well, it was interesting because I started studying yoga at a studio in Utah about 10 years ago. And I decided to do my yoga teacher training with that studio. But I remember one day seeing a flyer up with your name on it, and you were offering something through the studio, or they were at least advertising it. And I remember thinking, I know her. Like, I think we grew up in the same neighborhood in Utah. Mm-hmm. And we were a little bit different ages, maybe a year is all, but I just remembered you. And so it was cool. It was like, I remember like that moment kind of feeling a connection. And then it's interesting, in the last year or two, I've seen what's kind of happening for you on Facebook and some of the retreats you've been hosting. And it's just so powerful. I've loved your posts and your pictures and just seeing the work that you're doing. So
thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, there was, in fact, there was a testimony on your website I really liked. Someone had said, Leisha was such a huge part of helping me have the most beautiful birth of my second child after an intense traumatic first birth, healing and accepting the experience, clearing space for a different experience and connecting to my daughter in my womb. So I'm kind of curious to learn more about, so like one of the areas I'm really fascinated in is relationship and the differences between what I call a traditional relationship, meaning like our conditioned relationship in terms of what we're taught and how it kind of shows up in the masses versus like having more advanced relationships. And that could be in our relationship to ourselves, to our body, to our partner, to our children, to our careers. But I'm kind of curious, what do you see are the greatest struggles that women have in their relationships to themselves and their bodies?
That's a really good question. I mean, you talk about conditioning and you bring in the conditioning. And to be honest, I think that's one of the cornerstones of our struggles. And so much of our conditioning is important. Like, this is how we learn. This is how we learn how to be in a society and what's accepted and what's not, and be good ethical beings. However, there's a lot of conditioning that's really unhealthy. So conditioning happens as we grow up, and the first 7 years we're sponges. We just take everything in and take everything in. We continue to be sponges, just not so much. And so it's really what I find with any of the work that I do is what are we subconsciously remembering or storing in our body that's acting out and playing out in ways that we don't mean to? Like, what stories did we hear as children? And one of those stories could be, this is how women look. This is how women behave. And this is what love is or what love feels like. And in order to receive love, you need to act and look this way. So we hear these stories and we might think like, oh, we're fine, I'm not doing that. But it's so subconscious and stored in the body itself that that's where, when I talk about conditioning, starting to dive into the more subconscious stories, which we can do by accessing the body, because the body remembers everything. And starting to look at that conditioning and being like, do I actually believe this? Is this actually true? And is this how I still want to believe? Do I still want to believe this and show up in the world in this way? And making that conscious decision through working with people like you and mindset and body work of like, actually, this doesn't fulfill me anymore. This story that I'm telling myself doesn't have to be true anymore. And I'm going to choose a different story. I'm going to choose that I can look however I want. I can dress however I desire. I can not look like the fashion models. There's no right or wrong way. And a lot of it is collapsing right and wrong.
Yeah.
Like there is no right and wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. It gave me goosebumps as you talked about, I can dress however I want to. I mean, that was a big area of conditioning for me growing up and the culture I grew up in. And so I mean, just being able to strip that down and be like, wow, I can choose something it's not destructive to myself or other people. I'm not harming anyone in my choice of how I dress. And it's just to be able to be free in those ways.
Yeah.
Seems easy, but it's not always easy.
It's not easy. It's helpful. What's really helpful for me is that instinctually meditation, and now there's so much neuroscience on meditation, and the study of meditation has really opened the door to show us what's happening physiologically during meditation. And I bring that in a lot with my clients because it's the meditation that allows us to have that part of the brain that creates awareness. And once we have that awareness, we might be going through our day and have an action, and we can have that awareness and be like, wait a minute, I just told myself an untrue story. I just told myself I'm fat when I'm not. And I'm going to stop and pause there for a second and realize I'm stuck in story and choose to step out. Like acknowledge it and choose to step out of that. Feel it in my body, address it, and then come back to what the truth actually is. Like what is the truth? And is this a story from somewhere else that I'm just carrying around that I don't need anymore?
And what do you see are like the presenting problems that bring women into see you or into beginning to be curious about these stories that they're carrying? Like what are the external ways that those struggles show up that you've seen?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Most women, if they're not contacting me for birth reasons, like because they want to get pregnant or they've had a birth trauma or they want me to see their child, they are connecting with me because they have a desire to connect to their feminine. Mm. They have a desire to either feel more feminine or understand their relationship to the feminine. And they're in that space of, what does this even mean? I need to change my relationship to this. I want to understand it better, mm-hmm. but I don't know how.
Yeah, tell me more about that. I mean, when you talk about the relationship to the feminine, What does that even mean as you're talking about that?
Yeah, so I do, I like to speak in more archetypal language or archetypal work. So looking at archetypes in the easiest way, I don't know if your audience, if you've interviewed someone that does archetypal work before, but archetype is essentially like a broad or a big pattern, like of how you might show up. And all of us show up differently in different patterns. And we can have many different archetypes. We can have many different personality patterns. So when we use an archetype, it's a way to identify a part of ourselves without saying, well, that's what I am. Mm-hmm. We're not that. It's almost like a voice inside of us or a mask that we sometimes wear, just depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. So within those archetypes, there's a lot of masculine and feminine. That's two separate archetypes. There's the masculine and the feminine. And that's not to say male or female. And what's happening a lot in our society is this collapsing of the masculine and feminine energies. It used to be so much more in American white culture society. I'm going to generalize this. This is how the masculine behaves and this is how men behave, and men are more masculine. This is how females behave. This is how women behave, and women are more feminine. And that's starting to kind of collapse. And there's a huge shift happening right now. So when I talk about a woman getting more in touch with her feminine, for me and a lot of women in my generation and the older generations, I was raised very more masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And my energy and the way I was conditioned was I receive love when I act more masculine. So it's been a journey for me to say, well, what is the feminine? What does that even mean? What are the feminine energies for me? And how can I show up in this world and connect with that archetype and my womb and still know that, like, this is how I want to express myself and be in the world, and it's still safe to be that way. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the collapsing happening right now.
Yeah, as you say that, I'm just picturing my own upbringing as well. And yeah, similar, that it was a lot easier for me to be in the masculine energy. It felt safer. Mm-hmm. In learning how to relate to the feminine aspects of myself in order to find the partnership I was looking for, in order to create the business I want to create. It's just been really interesting to balance those and learn how to relate to the feminine, and such a journey. So that's really powerful.
And I feel like it was through, I've worked really hard as an embodiment practitioner to really, you know, self-love, love my body, feel my body, be in that space. It was when I allowed myself to meet myself in the feminine. Mm-hmm. That's actually what really shifted my self-love for myself and in my relationship with my body.
And what do you mean when you say meet myself in the feminine?
Yeah. So again, raised super masculine, and all things have a scale. So when I say the feminine, my definition of feminine and what it feels like for me to be in my feminine is going to be very different for someone else. So, and there's moments when I'm fully in my feminine energy, and there's moments when I do have to show up more in my masculine energies, especially running a business and a practice. Mm-hmm. So when I meet myself, it was more of a coming to terms with and coming into relationship with myself as a feminine energy and owning, like, being okay with that. Because again, I was not raised, not intentionally. My parents didn't do this intentionally. Society didn't do this intentionally. But the masculine energy of, like, push, drive, do, force, mm-hmm. we're rewarded for that as a society. So it really messed with my self-worth when I started to be like, actually today I'm gonna rest and do some other things besides push and drive. Mm-hmm. And then I had to sit back and learn how to be comfortable with that.
Oh, I love that. So for you, it was a lot about learning how to bring in this other aspect of you. It didn't mean you couldn't do those things or you couldn't bring your masculine online when you're wanting to run a business or do certain things, but you could also meet this feminine part that didn't need to push or be ambitious or force anything, that could sit back, receive.
That's the ultimate feminine energy. That's really, really difficult for people to grasp. Mm-hmm. Even women business owners that have, like, there's a lot of like capping out at their salary, or like they can't quite make that next jump in income level. It's not pushing harder. Mm-hmm. It's about sitting back and receiving and knowing that you're worthy and can deserve that next income level jump. Like, from an embodied perspective, like, really receiving that. So, like, yesterday, just going for an hour long walk, I had an hour and I was like, I could do this work stuff, which I need to get done on my to-do list. Or there's no snow on the ground right now yet. I can go for a walk and look at the trees and be in the sun and fill my cup. Yeah.
Nice. I love that. And how does this is kind of a personal question, but tell me a little bit about your family life and how does this experience of meeting your own feminine How does that impact your experience with family life and relationships?
Yeah. My family is super supportive of me and like what I'm doing. And you can, if you Facebook stalk me, you can see that my mom like comments on all my posts, and it's really, really sweet. I'm also a little bit of the black sheep of the family, stepping out of a predominant religion that is predominant here where I live in Utah. Mm-hmm. So just really owning, I didn't have a lot of people that step out of a religion that they grow up in. Sometimes they have like an identity crisis or a religious crisis. I personally didn't experience that. I was one of those people where I was like, meh, this isn't for me. So I stopped. but with my family, they've really supported how I choose to show up. I'm really, really lucky in that sense that I have their support. And we laugh, like we laugh sometimes just about how more energetic my approaches are, or how I'm much more woo, or how I'm intuitive. We have a good laugh about it, but they're supportive. I should say that, not should, but in relationship to my partner. So I've been with my husband. We've been together for, it will be 15 years this summer. So we've been together for a long time. And as I started to shift into this dance of owning different masculine and feminine and understanding that energy, it forced a shift in him as well. Because we were doing this dance. So when you're in relationship, and you can speak to this better, if one person changes, it forces the other person to change. Mm-hmm. So he was also going through some really big life changes the same time about 2 years ago when I started to mentor with my womb mentor and dive more into womb work. So like stepping back and looking at it now, it was really chaotic at that time for about a year or so, because there was this new dance of masculine and feminine energies. And the more that I stepped into my feminine in a way, it was forcing him to step more into his masculine. Mm. There's a balance that plays out. Mm. For so long, I was in my masculine without recognizing it. And I actually believe, I think, and I think this happens unfortunately a lot, blanking the word,
emasculating.
I was subconsciously emasculating him, mm-hmm. and really keeping him from like stepping up into his own definition of what masculine is for him. Because I was like subconsciously too much in my masculine. And so it's a tricky subject right now too, with like women empowerment versus like stepping back and being able to be in, to receive, and receive is different than like being told what to do and going along with it.
Yeah.
Like having him in charge.
Yep.
So yeah, it created this dance that we're still dancing with. But as I will tell you, as I've learned to love my body and connect with my womb, our sex life has changed for the better too. Mm. Because I'm open to receiving, and there's less emotional and energetic blocks in my womb, which allows me to be more open in a healthy sexual way.
Yeah. Do you feel open to sharing more about that?
Yeah. I wasn't sure how much we can talk about sex on your show.
Oh yeah. We can go there. So
awesome. Yeah, so if we store a lot of emotional blocks, and when I say emotional blocks, I'm putting this in embodiment terms. So we live our lives, stuff's going along. A person experiences a physical trauma. And let's say, like, God, I'm trying to think of like one I've done. Like, how many times have I fallen off my mountain bike and just like literally hurt my genital area or something? So our body has a cellular memory of that, a cellular imprint of everything we live through. And in a bigger scale, we think about like rape or sexual trauma and how that then gets stored in the cellular memory and the perception of vulnerability that then comes with sex and the feelings of not feeling safe around being with another person, male or female, naked. So we store that memories in our body, those memories. And then there's also emotional and verbal memories, like teenage girls getting their periods and how that's maybe not celebrated or talked about, or how like any story, like being told that you're dirty as a woman, as a 17-year-old or something growing up. And that gets stored in our body. Sometimes we recognize it, sometimes we don't. And the womb, I almost think of the womb the way it sits in the pelvic bowl. It's a bowl. It literally holds so much, including emotion, including cellular memory. So as I've released and worked through the embodied and the emotional blocks myself around those stories, around physical pains, releasing that actually physically allowed my hips, like I stopped having mere hip pain that I've had for years. So there's the physical. And then emotionally, being more willing and open in the bedroom with my partner, feeling more comfortable to be vulnerable, feeling more able to receive, and really playing that role in the bedroom of the feminine and allowing my partner to step into the masculine. And that can play out in heterosexual and homosexual relationships. There's still that duality playing out regardless.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And, you know, for anyone listening, again, if you feel curious to know more about this, you know, check out Leisha's website. Go gather information or set up a coaching session. But I just think this is so, it can take a long time. You can be with a partner for years before you start to realize that, wow, there have been blocks, or I have just been doing something in a rote way or in a way I think I'm supposed to do it. And sexuality becomes this kind of box that we can put ourselves into in a certain way without really being able to sometimes tap into what would help us feel most alive and connected and receptive and open.
Yeah. And it is, it's little steps, it's little actions. I find the work, I find the people that are like, you come see me one time and you'll be better. I'm like, no, because we have to work through the layers and what's there. And sometimes one time, yeah, but if it's a history of conditioning or a lifetime of trauma, really working through the different layers of the body somatically to release that trauma.
Yeah. And yeah, this is a little personal from me, but let's see, I turned 40 last winter. So I'll be 41 this coming February. And my husband Bryce and I, we, you know, started looking at and thinking about having children about 2 or 3 years ago. And yeah, it's just been a real big journey in terms of, you know, where am I in my body right now? What's possible for us? Looking at infertility treatments, you know, beginning to look at adoption options or foster care options. But then even like, and also looking at a bigger picture of, you know, what is our purpose in having children? What do we want that to be? And yeah, and just noticing how so many stories about my own body came up. And if I can't give birth or if I can't have that experience, what does that mean about me? And it's just really, I mean, so I guess maybe my question right now would be, you know, how do you see this this impact of conditioning and our relationships with our bodies. How do you see that actually impact things for women in regards to childbirth and parenting?
Yeah, I actually love that you asked this question because I just turned 40 as well. And I've made the conscious decision so far to not have children at this point in my life. And I can't tell you how many times, especially because I work with newborns and babies, how many times people are like, oh, don't worry, you still have time. When are you getting pregnant? How many children are you going to have? Mm-hmm. And I think the questions are okay, but it's when people are like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, why? And I love that there's women having babies. Like, I am so happy that that is their choice. And I love working with babies. They're magical. I call them little, they're like little mini bodhisattvas, mm-hmm. like of light. They just are. Mm-hmm. And I have a real connection and passion connecting to newborns, whether it's on this plane or other dimensions, depending on what people believe. But I do feel like we are conditioned, and I think it's bigger than we realize, mm-hmm. the conditioning of women having babies.
Yeah.
And I'm binge watching the Vikings right now. The Viking from the History Channel that's also on Amazon. And I'm not a binge watcher of shows, period. And I started watching this show and I'm fascinated by it because it's showing me what's in our instinctual and ancestral lines collectively. Mm-hmm. So back then, if you didn't have a child, you were considered worthless. If you didn't have a son specifically to carry on the family name, you are a disappointment to your husband. And like, that is stored in our brain. Like, that was passed down. Talk about epigenetics and DNA. Like, that is in there. So now we're in the space where we can choose not to have children. We might not be able to have children, depending on either approach. But there's this conditioning coming through the generational lines of like, well, now my body's worthless. Mm-hmm. Now I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. And then we have it societally currently. And I see it with my father-in-law, because my husband is the last male in their family line. And I remember having this moment realizing that and just being like, whoa. That's a really big deal instinctually for men. Mm-hmm. So then it pulls in this whole dynamic in the relationship that your partner might be subconsciously holding this as well. And then it's like, so then we're sitting here going, my body's worthless. My body's worthless. I actually did a Facebook post on this the other day after talking to a woman with 5 years of infertility. Mm. And that's what she said in her call. She said, I hate my uterus because it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Hmm. So our body is just the same as a relationship to it, like a marriage. So if you had a partner sitting here going, I hate you, you're a disappointment to me, like, I would check out of that relationship. I would leave. I wouldn't stay in it. And so the body hears that and the body checks out of the relationship. The body takes that on and it can create this cycle. It's like you're sitting here telling your body you hate it or that it's worthless. And then it feeds into the cycle of like, of this balanced emotional body of that's opening up to the different possibilities of having a child, if that's a possibility. So, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
Yeah, well, I'm like, as you're sharing right there, I could feel myself feeling emotional. Yeah, just what it's like to feel anytime I feel like I'm not enough in any way, whether it's some part of me physically is not enough, some part of me emotionally is not enough, some part of me mentally is not enough, spiritually, I mean, whatever it might be, but just hearing you talk about that and imagining that woman, you know, feeling that to her own uterus, just, I could just feel my heart kind of break as we're talking about it.
Yeah. To bring in a whole other layer of, this is more esoteric and woo, I feel like there's a shift too happening right now of what is of the, like, the next generation that wants to come in. Mm-hmm. So I feel like our generation, like, we came to heal a lot of ancestral patterns and really heal a lot of ancestral stuff. And that's coming to the surface right now. And that's been a lot of work that I see people my age working through. And I've literally seen this in the babies coming into my practice. There has been a shift where they're like, I'm not here to work through your stuff. Like, ancestral patterns, like, done and over. Like, I'm not bringing that in. So there's almost like a shift in the level of generation or souls that are coming in right now. And so it's some of my work focuses on working with women to work through their stuff so that their womb feels like a nice cozy home. That this higher vibrational, new generational of soul wants to come into. And not to say, like, you're not, like, I don't want to put this message, I'm careful how I put this message out there, because I don't want women being like, wait, you're saying I can't get pregnant because my soul isn't vibrational enough or I'm not spiritual enough. It's not that. It's just really, like, being comfortable in yourself enough regardless.
Yeah, there was a question that was coming up for me as you're talking about that. Oh, I was thinking, because one of the things I do when I'm working with myself or clients is also this idea that what's showing up for us in our own space is like a mirror of our own relationship to ourselves as well. So I'm just curious, as you talk about that, as you talk about your experience of seeing more of these babies who are maybe at a different level or are ready for another step or ready for the next layer of what's going on, I'm curious to know more about just anything you feel comfortable sharing, but what would you notice have been your own ups and or downs? And have you noticed yourself as you've gone through some of your maybe past ancestral or generational work, have you noticed yourself becoming more ready for another level yourself? I don't know, something about that, I just felt curious to know.
I will say that the more work, quote unquote work, that I've done on myself, clearing these emotional blocks and, like, somatically working through stuff in my body, like literally releasing physical things out of my body, emotional things out of my body, and tapping into the feminine, because this is a feminine quality. What shifted for me is my intuition has come more on board.
Oh, that is very cool.
Just trusting that, and owning, like, yeah, I'm an intuitive being, and we all have the ability to be intuitive or psychic in some form. If we, it's a skill, just like anything else. A learned skill. And the more I've just, like, released and let go and gotten out of my own way, the more I've just been able to receive really, really new levels of intuition.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And I love that because I think sometimes, at least with clients I've worked with, it's like, why am I doing this work? Why would I dive into these practices? What's going to be the potential, quote, benefits of releasing an old way and learning a new way or opening up to another level? And so it's really cool to hear your own personal experience of one of the, quote, benefits or one of the things that's opened up for you, you know. And you talked about a few things, your intuition coming online, being more open and receptive in the bedroom, like being able to connect more deeply to your own sexuality and with your husband. Anything else that you would say has come up for you?
I just thought of one and then it left me. It will come back. Oh, well, you were talking about relationship with your body in the beginning. The level of me loving my body is really different as well. And it's almost not explainable because I said before, like, yeah, I had worked through these things and I had a, you know, I always liked my body, but you know, my family has a history of like eating disorders. I had a small period where I was like borderline anorexic when I was younger. I would always like think about food, like, and like borderline OCD, kind of obsess about like, well, is this healthy enough? Can I stay skinny if I eat this? And like, I remember, I think it was last year, I was eating something and I was like, wow, I haven't thought about what I ate for a couple of days. Where that was such a habit and a pattern every day to be like, what did I eat today? And judge myself for it. And I actually think that that should be normalized. I think a lot of women probably subconsciously or consciously do that, and they get into this role and this habit of doing that. And that's gone. Like, there's some times when I'm eating a lot of chocolate, I'm like, I'm eating a lot of chocolate right now. I need to slow down. And I am a big advocate of eating healthy and how eating healthy helps our bodies feel healthy and the energy of food. Like, there's that. But the story itself and the ability for me to like not even care and exercise because I want to exercise, not to like fit into my jeans or look a certain way. Like, all of that shifted in a whole new way for me with my relationship to my body the last 2 years.
Yeah, I love it as you're talking about that. And we have a jet flying over, so you may hear it in the background. But as you're talking about that, one of the things that was just popping up for me was, yeah, the difference between being able to do something because it's in alignment with us and what we want to feel, which is seems to me to be so much a part of the feminine, which is like, what is the experience I want to receive here in my life? How do I want to feel while I'm on this earth? What do I want to feel as I'm doing my work? What do I want to experience? What do I want to taste? What do I want to smell? What do I want to sense? So, I don't know, as you're talking about that, you know, being able to come from that place of why do I exercise? Why do I eat healthy? Why do I show up in a certain way? And is it more because I want to have a certain experience and I want to feel a certain way in this world? Or is it so that I can be put on display to other people and get the approval? And yeah, I just, as you're talking about that, it's so huge.
Yeah, like look a certain, again, it's like I must look this certain way at all times. And now that I'm like, you know, 40's not old, but now that I'm starting to like get wrinkles and have these physical changes, I'm like, wow, there's such a so misconstrued of like what beauty is.
Yeah, it's a weird experience.
So weird. And like friends starting to get Botox and like their judgments. I'm just like, wow, this is so interesting. Like that I'm not beautiful because I'm aging, quote unquote. Yeah.
So, man, I just feel like there are just so many questions I could keep asking. And I know we're almost at the hour mark, but let me see if there's anything else that I wanted to check in with. I was just curious, how would you suggest a woman or even a man, I don't know, beginning to reconnect to their body when there has been traumatic or negative experiences?
Yeah, so I recommend that they're working with someone. If it's a really traumatic event, I recommend that they're working with someone. And my approach is that if I am working with someone deep in trauma, I ask that they also have a therapist working with them so that they can have, I'm not trained as a licensed therapist in that way. And I want them to be able to have someone to talk to about what they're experiencing. It's really important for me to have the blend. So depending on the level of trauma, if it's, you know, if it's like someone that's interested in learning how to get into their body and they might have had some trauma, the really important piece to bring in is safety. Because trauma happens when we aren't feeling safe, mm-hmm. usually. Or we were feeling safe and there was a trust that was broken that broke our safety. So, and trauma also happens, I like to think of it as too much, too fast, or too soon.
Mm.
Something happened to the body physically, usually, mm-hmm. or words verbally, or not enough in cases of neglect.
Yeah.
So too much, too fast, too soon. And so when we're working with trauma, we actually have to counterbalance. So it's actually about going slow, going softly, and going at the rate that you are ready at going. Mm-hmm. So what I have people do, and oftentimes people are really disconnected from their bodies, they detach. So one of the first things I like to teach people is that let's thank that part of us that detached. Let's have gratitude to that part of us, because that part of us actually saved our life in a way. It made it so that we could survive the trauma. So acknowledging, like, it's okay. That's a pattern for you that you learned, and it's not needed anymore. So bringing in awareness of, like, when am I detaching? And many of us detach a lot throughout the day. So people that want to start getting into this, I usually just ask them to start feeling their body. Like, that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I have clients, I'll have them set an alarm a couple times a day, just a bell or a reminder. And that when that goes off, they put a hand, you know, on their heart or their womb or their face, whatever feels comfortable, usually the heart, and just feel what it feels like to have your hand on your heart and to feel the chest breathe and feel it rise and fall. Like, that's simple, and really coming into that. And when that sense of safety is there, then they can start exploring the pieces of the trauma or what the body is storing about, and curiosity. Like, that's the question I invoke the most, of what's here right now. So if I'm going to work on myself, I will sit in, like, a quiet meditative space, and I will just openly ask, as if my body is my partner and we're in a relationship, just like I would to my partner, like, that I hadn't seen all day. Hey, how are you? How was your day? Hey, body, how are you? How are you feeling? Is there anything you need right now?
I love that. So you're kind of talking about being able to tune into your own body, being able to feel, and also creating a context where you can do that and it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's time for it, there's space for it, there's room for whatever's happening. Yeah. And using your body, using your hands, using your breath to support that practice.
Yeah, and trusting whatever comes up. Because when people start to do this for the first time and they tune in and they say, and you say to your body, like, hey, body, how are you? What's here? You might hear something, feel something, see something visually in your mind's eye, and you'll be like, that was weird. I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, that's your body talking to you. Believe it. Listen.
So true. I love that. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yeah, one thing I'll often say with clients is, like, as they're sitting and just getting quiet and getting silent, I'll just say, is there anything popping up in the background? Is there a visual or a thought or a memory? And it can be, and I'll remind them, like, it might be very random, but is there anything that was just popping up as you're sitting with this emotion, with this feeling, with this sensation? So being able to pay attention, you're talking about being able to trust what comes up and pay attention to cues. And I love that. Yeah.
Sometimes people will be like, oh, I didn't see anything. And I'll be like, really? Are you sure? And they'll be like, well, I thought of the color green. And I'm like, well, that's something.
Yeah.
So let's explore that. Let's go there and explore what the color green is to you in this moment and start to process that.
Oh, Alicia, thank you so much for your thoughts and your answers there. And so one last question for you. So knowing what you know, after getting all the training you've done, after all the experience you've had, you know, you have tons of certifications and all these things. If you had like 1 to 3 minutes to share anything with the world, what would you share?
Oh my gosh. That's such a great question. You know, unfortunately, this changes for me all the time because I'm constantly like learning new things and having new information come in. So I can only speak to it right now.
What would it be today in this moment?
Yeah, it might change. Mm-hmm. Right now, I really sit with the importance of mind and body to approach healing and the relationship that the mind and body has, and understanding that we actually do need to address both. Mm-hmm. And that healing, like people talk about like healing and getting better. And I really like to reiterate that you already are whole and healed. It's just a matter of finding that in yourself and finding people. Like sometimes it's like, there's always a river, but sometimes there's a dam and you have to remove the dam. So healing to me is about what you are already whole. How do you remove the dam so that there can be a flowing stream so that you can flow and just be in your life that show up the way you want to, the way you want to. So that would be my 2 to 3 minute.
Thank you. That's so beautiful. Yeah. And I just really feel so grateful for your time and really excited for our listeners to be able to connect with you. So for anyone who's listening that wants to learn more about this work that Leisha does, go to leishanelson.com. Again, that's leishanelson.com. And it will be on the show notes. You can also email her at leisha@leishanelson.com. And I'll also include her Facebook and her Instagram is Leisha_Nelson. And her Facebook is Leisha Nelson. Is that right? Yeah,
just my name. Mm-hmm. And oh. I do a lot of my sessions online. So you awesome. Don't have to be in the same city.
I know. It's interesting. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of negative things about COVID that have been really rough. And I think one of the really cool things is people beginning to open up and see the power of being able to meet virtually. Mm-hmm. And I took my practice completely virtual a year before COVID hit because I really found I love seeing people virtually. I like working with them while they're in their own space. I like them to learn the mindsets and skills from their own home. I like them to create their own safe spaces. And so I love it when coaches are working with people virtually. And if you're thinking about doing some womb work or any kind of work with Leisha, in my experience, virtual work is just as effective as in-person work. And it's how I see most of my mentors and coaches now as well. And I love it.
Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that. Cause I think that's the number one block people have. I think coming to see me is for like, we can possibly do womb work online. And like, yes, we can. Actually, it's better.
I agree. I do, which is so crazy, but it's really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today. And I'm happy to come back anytime. I feel like we could talk for hours about this stuff.
I do too. So yeah, thanks. Go ahead and stay on the line and I'll just say goodbye to everyone listening. Also, if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in diving in more to advanced relationship work, and you want to learn the advanced relationship development model that I teach all of my private clients, then we have started a group training. So you can get access to the Advanced Relationship Mastery course and 6 months of weekly live classes where you get on a call like how Leisha and I are right now on a Zoom call, and you ask your questions and we dive in and you get coaching. You do practices right on the call, and it's all about how to transition from traditional relationship with yourself, with your partner, in any way into an advanced relationship and how you actually do that. What does it look like? So if you're interested in that, I'll also include in the show notes a link to the info page where you can learn more about the Advanced Relationship Mastery course and the 6 months of coaching. And if you're interested, there will be info there on how to start moving forward in that process. So thank you to everyone who has participated today, and I will talk to you later.
Bye, thank you.